This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the Worldwide Wave.
Yes, it's Worldwide Wave time, Joy's international news and current affairs show for and by the LGBTI community. We take you around the globe, one country at a time. Ian is here in the studio with me. Good evening, Ian.
And it's great to be here.
Fantastic. We've got a big, big show lined up for you tonight.
Australia is actually the focus of a big LGBT story. Two Saudi Arabian men who've been in a loving relationship for 16 years. They lived in quiet and a comfortable life together in Saudi Arabia. They avoided attracting any type of attention that could land them in jail or even the death penalty, which is on the books there due to their relationship. But then a series of circumstances changed their lives forever. And in fear, they fled their home country of Saudi Arabia and went to Australia.
Now, expecting safe haven here in Australia, on arrival they experienced exactly what had driven them from their home country, detention. Tonight, they remain a victim of Australia's immigration system. Their lawyer, Alison Battison, from Pro Bono Lawyers Human Rights for All, joined us to tell us their story.
Here's a taste of what's coming up tonight.
You have to remember that people fleeing persecution are in very stressful situations. They often have limited resources and they are making decisions with very short notice. So it's not a fully rational process where you sit down and totally plan. The Saudi reach is long, as was seen in Turkey in 2018. So getting as far away from Saudi Arabia as possible is a very good idea.
Now, this is a story that was broken by The Guardian on Sunday and continues to get media coverage in Australia and just this afternoon in the New York Times. Surviving as a gay couple in Saudi Arabia is no mean feat. Tonight, we bring you the story of Sultan and Nassar. Now, we've changed their names to protect them, and they've been together living under the radar in Saudi Arabia for 16 years. Now, this Saudi Arabia is a country with some of the harshest LGBT laws in the world, including the death penalty. Just a few weeks ago, they had to escape their home country, took a long route to come to Australia as what they thought would be their safe haven.
As we speak tonight, they are separated and locked in immigration detention here in Australia, a victim of our immigration policies, facing the threat of being deported back to Saudi Arabia. We spoke to their lawyer earlier tonight, Alison Battison from Human Rights for All, and asked her to start by describing what happened in Saudi Arabia that led to Sultan and Nassar's escape to Australia.
So, unfortunately, both Sultan and Nassar were caught up in the fallout from a visit of foreign journalists to Saudi Arabia, who the gentleman, as part of their jobs, would help facilitate such visits. But this particular visit, the foreign media went off-piste and started meeting with people who were not on the official schedule. This led to many events, including, unfortunately, the death of Jamal Khashoggi in Turkey in 2018, at the end of 2018. The fallout in Saudi Arabia from that was extreme and swift. And in trying to figure out what had happened and perhaps what documents had been leaked out of the country, various people were brought in to answer questions. And Sultan was one of those people. During that process of interrogation, which happened on a number of occasions, his personal life was examined and it became clear that the regime realised that he was in a same-sex domestic relationship with his very long-term partner. I mean, they've been together for approximately 16 years. And they've lived together for most of that time and been able to stay under the radar. As part of the regime's attempt to control people, Sultan and Nasir were threatened with being outed to their families and the public in general. And eventually this year, just before they sought asylum in Australia, that is in fact what happened. And one of the families realised or had been fed information that their family member was in a homosexual relationship and confronted the couple. They decided not to hide it any longer, as is, I believe, the absolute right. And then threats were made against one of their lives in particular and the other one to be married off.
And so just to put this in perspective, people, the threats are being made against their lives from their family, but if they are charged with homosexuality, the offence, it's up to the death penalty as well in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a fraught environment because it could be death penalty, it could be disappearance, it could be separated, and it flows out to family and friends. And you know, these people had to, Sultan and Nasir had to cut all contacts with their gay friends because of the danger it might place those people in as well.
They escaped. They managed to escape, and it was quite an arduous, long drive out to Egypt, and they decided on Australia as their safe haven. Did they sort of give a sense of what their expectations were about Australia?
Yes, they did. So just to clarify, they drove across Saudi Arabia so there'd be no record of them flying out, and then got the first plane out of Saudi Arabia, which happened to be to Egypt, which is fraught in itself because it's assumed, and I think quite reasonably, that there are Saudi agents watching various embassies and the UNHCR office in Egypt for people exactly like Sultan and Nasir seeking asylum. They had quite high expectations of Australia. Like many asylum seekers who come to Australia, Australia is portrayed as a land that is welcoming, that respects human rights, and it's a mecca for LGBTI people. I mean, the Mardi Gras, the 78ers, it's an extraordinary place and very welcoming and opening place in the mainstream or the main to be LGBTI.
Is there a particular reason that they chose Australia over other countries? I mean, some of the media comments have been, why didn't they go to New Zealand?
absolutely, and that is a question that many people, you know, particularly people on Manus probably are thinking about. And it's, you know, Australia and New Zealand are viewed as the same, and it's easier to get to Australia than New Zealand. You have to remember that people fleeing persecution are in very stressful situations. They often have limited resources and they are making decisions, you know, with very short notice. So it's not a fully rational process where you sit down and totally plan. You know, there are questions, you know, the Saudi reach is long. As was seen in Turkey in 2018. So getting as far away from Saudi Arabia as possible is a very good idea.
Now, we're talking tonight to Alison Battison from Pro Bono Lawyers Human Rights for All, and she's speaking to us about Sultan and Nasir, the two gay Saudi Arabians who are tonight in detention in Australia. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
Joy.org.au, where our diverse communities can come together. Across the nation, across the globe. Joy.
Hi, I'm Mamikon Hovsepian. I work for Pink Armenia and our organization deals with LGBT issues here for the World Wide Wave.
We've had some messages.
Speaking of messages, a big hearty welcome, big kisses from us to Michael from Elstonwick, who has just taken out membership. You can take out your membership at joy.org.au, and you can also send us your messages. We're talking tonight about Australia's immigration detention system.
Sorry.
And the gay couple from Saudi Arabia who have been captured in this situation. What do you think about Australia's immigration policy and how it's affecting Australia's reputation abroad? Do you think it's hurt that reputation? Our guest tonight was talking, you know, Australia is seen as a being really positive, welcoming place. Do you think this immigration policy is affecting it? Maybe you've had some overseas friends who've commented, who've seen a story and commented on our immigration system. So
maybe you've got an LGBT story about asylum seeking in Australia. That would be really interesting to hear. Now, tonight we're bringing you the story of the Saudi Arabian couple, Sultan and Nassar. They were stopped by the Australian Border Force when seeking refugee status, and they have been seeking refuge from persecution in their home country. We have been speaking to their lawyer this afternoon, Alison Batterson from Human Rights for All, and she described what happened next.
So they got to immigration, and noting that they had valid tourist visas, and these were multiple years and multiple entry tourist visas that they validly applied for, so, you know, under no false pretenses, and they had sufficient funds to travel around Australia. These two had been successful working men who had generated an income, so they had the funds to do that. They had their passports stamped, they went down and collected their baggage, and then at customs they were directed into a different customs line than everyone else from their flight. They had their phones taken away from them, and when the phones were brought back by ABF officers, Australian Border Force, they were asked if in fact they were here to seek asylum. They'd seen various things on the phones that alerted the ABS officers to the fact that they might be here to seek asylum. So at that point, they were taken to separate interview rooms, and realising that this is a very stressful environment and they've been on a plane for a very long time through multiple stops, they're separated, their visas are cancelled, they're handcuffed and they're taken away to detention. And it's very clear that they are seeking asylum because they're homosexual. So exactly what they feared would happen in Saudi Arabia, being taken away because they're homosexual, happened in Australia.
And the way I understand it, there is some quirk of law or some law whereby they can be detained without end. There's no time limit on their detention at the moment.
So it's not a quirk of law. It is both in case law and in statute, and a number of human rights lawyers, including myself, we are working very hard to try and have that overturned. But yes, it is incredibly difficult for lawyers such as myself to provide any comfort to people in detention around the period of time they may be detained, because it's effectively open-ended. And the only place they can go back to is Saudi Arabia. So the department won't let them just get on a plane to New Zealand. They will return them to Saudi Arabia.
How long will this process take, in your experience?
That varies greatly, again, because there is no time frame. The bureaucratic process is incredibly opaque. I will give you as an example that I have clients in detention of over 10 years who have never committed a crime. I have a client who's been in for 9 years who only just received an initial rejection due to character concerns, but being recognised as an asylum seeker. This process will probably take less time because there's sufficient documentary evidence of who they are, but it's absolutely open-ended.
But they will be in detention for all this time, and I believe they've sort of given you, they've told you some stories about what is happening within the detention centres here in Australia.
So that is in fact an open question, because we have put in an application for a protection visa. When they initially arrived, in recognition that perhaps they shouldn't be in detention and that they had a prima facie case for protection, the department itself generated a bridging visa application which would allow them to leave detention. Now, that has sat with Minister Dutton and or Minister Coleman for well over a month. So the ministers have it within their personal power to release these two gentlemen. In detention, there are a number of concerns, safety concerns. LGBTI people, women, children, people with disabilities are particularly vulnerable in detention. And as an example, just before this interview commenced, I had a client call me complaining about being sexually assaulted in detention by a fellow detainee. So the immigration detention centres are a mixed population of asylum seekers, stateless people, and people who've served criminal sentences and are waiting to be returned to safe countries. So there's a real mix of criminal population in with people who have never committed a crime in their life.
You've gone public after them being held in detention for at least a month. And I know from having applied for my own and having my own visa issues probably about 10 years ago, the advice of lawyers is often don't make a fuss. Don't aggravate the department. Why did you decide to go public, and what is it that the LGBT community in particular can do to support this case?
Sure. So the reason for going public is that, A, I still think that the individual decision-making within the department in relation to protection claims is not influenced by politics and media. So I still believe that their cases will be viewed on their merits. The fact of detention, their separation, threats that have been made to them in detention is such that they shouldn't be there, and no asylum seeker should be in administrative detention.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that is one of the reasons why we went public. And also, these gentlemen are being very brave. They realise that, in fact, compared to many others, they haven't been in detention that long, but that perhaps their story and their contacts, remembering that their profession is a journalist. And I warned the department it was a very bad idea to have journalists in detention.
We stick up for our own.
Yeah, exactly. But they realised that, particularly internationally, that Europe, the UK, the USA, other countries, their media there and the populations over there did not realise what was happening in Australia in relation to detained asylum seekers. I had 2 months ago a transgender male to female person assaulted in detention, which I had been telling the department for months would happen because they cannot guarantee people's safety in such an environment. It's just impossible. And it took that assault for the person to be released on a bridging visa. There was no difference in the person's case before and after the assault. It was merely the fact that they'd been insulted. So having to get to that level is unacceptable, of physical danger, of threats and actual carried out sexual violence. These are everyday realities in our detention centres.
We're talking tonight to Alison Battison from Pro Bono Lawyers Human Rights for All, speaking to us here on Joy 94.9.
The Joy Community, here for you, here together.
Marhaba, this is Khaled Abdelhadi, founder of the first LGBT magazine in Jordan and one of the first in the MENA region, speaking from Jordan on the World Wide Web.
We're talking tonight Saudi Arabia and the gay couple who are journalists who are currently in Australia's detention. It does frustrate me sometimes when they've obviously... They've been together 16 years. They've obviously demonstrated, look, everything was going okay until, of all things, their family was basically dobbing them into, risk lengthy jail or the death penalty in Saudi Arabia because of their homosexuality. Because of that, like, it is frustrating that they seem to be put into the same bucket as everybody and the personal stories don't seem to matter.
And they're clearly at serious, serious risk now. And what is Australia's... Australia doesn't need to lock people up who are clearly, going to be able to go through this process. They should be out here contributing to the community. They're two journalists. Let's get them on Joy.
And one person who is fighting for Soltan and Nassar is their pro bono lawyer from Human Rights for All, Alison Battison. She joined us earlier this evening and we asked her what you as a listener can do to help.
Share the story, discuss with family and friends, engage with the wider issue of asylum seekers in detention and particularly vulnerable groups. There is a petition that has been put together by Just Equal. Please sign that and share that. So there's some first steps to take. I'm a charitable law firm, which is a strange beast. You can make donations to our work. We work solely pro bono for long-term detained asylum seekers and stateless people in detention.
Anything about the sort of letters that work in your experience? I mean, you're a safe lawyer. You're not going to do anything rash. Well, if we're going to write a letter to the immigration minister, what should that say?
So it's more the fact of writing than what's contained in it. Emotive language is not good.
Yeah.
Just set out, please explain why it is that what has happened to these two gentlemen is precisely what they feared would happen to them in Saudi Arabia, and why it has taken more than a month for them to be granted bridging visas when the department itself internally recommended them for the same visa.
Absolutely, and they count the number of letters, and the number of letters makes a big difference. This whole issue is shining a light on a much bigger issue of LGBT asylum seekers. What can you tell us a bit about the work that you're doing and what do you think needs to change in this field? Because this sounds like one of those pivot moments when actually the sunlight is going to be revealed on what has been happening for a long time.
Yes, and I absolutely hope that it is. So I have a large number of LGBTI clients in detention centres who are consistently subjected to verbal threats and physical threats and are very often assaulted. There are massive issues around LGBTI people seeking asylum. For example, trying to prove homosexuality if you don't arrive with your partner. That's very difficult where perhaps your partner was murdered in your country of origin or disappeared. And you're certainly not going to have photos or records of a life together in a country where you could be killed or at least not have your rights protected because of same-sex attraction or your gender or, you know, other non-heteronormal factors. So it's a massive issue. And there are people... There are LGBTI people in detention who have been there for 7 years.
7 years?
They can't... Yes. Yep, absolutely. Yep. And often it can take a little bit of work to... I'll give you an example. I have a friend, began as a client, who was in a detention centre, had been there for a number of years. 4 days before final submissions were due on his case, I ran into him in the detention centre, which is how I got to know him. And eventually I just said, is there something else that you're seeking asylum for? And he looked at me and said, yes, but I can't talk about it here. And he'd had a same-sex relationship in his country of origin, which he was unable to speak about in detention and wasn't sure if would be safe. Because the only experience these people have had of Australia is in a detention centre. So it can often take a number of years for an LGBTI claim to come out. And then when it does come out, it lacks credibility and the department doesn't believe that the person is in fact same-sex attracted or whatever else. And that's exactly what's happening for a client of mine at the moment. I have the person's partner writing letters saying, we are in a same-sex relationship, and the department refused to believe him.
Alison, the work you do is incredible. Thank you so much for that, and thank you for joining us here on Worldwide Wave.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good luck, and we'll keep in contact with you.
And we are going to watch this story as it develops, when, as we hope, Nassar and his partner get out of detention. We're going to try and get them here on Joy. They can bring you their very personal insights to what they're experiencing right now. This issue of open-ended detention, I'm so not comfortable with this.
I'm so bleeding angry. I know I'm not meant to use particular language at a time on Joy, but I am very angry that this is happening. And this is just an example which gets media coverage, but this is happening every day.
Well, that's the thing. There's a whole, for every one that we know about, there's a whole lot that we don't know about. And we don't know how many we don't know about. It's interesting that this has happened when there is this whole campaign about transparency with government, the Your Right to Know campaign as well. You look at other issues of journalists when Australian journalist Peter Cressida was held in, I think it was Egypt,
in
was
Egypt,
it not?
That Egypt. Terrible cell in Egypt, yes.
And there was all sorts of advocacy, there was all sorts of representations from the government. And yet here we have foreign journalists who are have been going about their life, but purely because of who they're attracted to, they've had to escape their country, escape a potential death penalty, and find themselves, you know, basically incarcerated here.
And the system is set up in such a way, you think that there's an assumption within this system that absolutely you could give these people a bridging visa and that can still happen. And they could be out in the community and contributing to community while a final decision and an assessment is made. But, you know, the clear indication is the reason the system is set up so unfairly, with such injustice, is it's some attempt to dissuade people that might have some funny idea that they'd like to come to Australia and stay in Australia and claim asylum on some fake grounds.
And you've got the whole idea of safety in detention is also being disproved, but some of the stories that have been coming out about violence, about drug use, and about, we certainly have heard many times before on this show about LGBT people being excluded or attacked while being in detention. Absolutely. A minority of a minority. Yeah.
So I think it was Sultan, or the guy that we're calling Sultan, was actually interviewed from his hospital bed yesterday morning on ABC. He reported that he had three security guards standing around him while he was on the telephone. And he described what the situation was when they both arrived, because they arrived initially together at the detention centre, that they weren't allowed into the usual accommodation by the other inmates, who obviously realised that they were a gay couple, and they had to sleep on the stairwell for the first two nights, and then they slept in the mosque on another night, and that they were then put in a space where there were people who were in a holding place, in a holding accommodation to be deported. So these are people who'd been in jail previously and were on their way to be deported out of Australia. And so they were put in with these people who were using illicit drugs. They clearly felt very uncomfortable, very unsafe in that situation. And this is what's happening to LGBT people in detention in Australia and, of course, on Manus Island too.
You, our listeners, do, however, have the power to do something about this, to stand with Alison and her very forthright and supportive team. There are ways you can get involved. The Minister for Immigration is David Coleman, and you can contact him. It is david.coleman.mp.
Have you got his mobile number?
At APH, australianparliamenthouse.gov.au.
If you've got David Coleman's mobile number, could you let us know and we'll share that?
We'll send him a message on your behalf.
You could also, petition that we were talking about, that's at equal.org.au. That's just equal. And
we might even pop that up on our Facebook page.
Yeah, I think that's already up on our Facebook page already. I shared that this afternoon before we did the interview. So have a look there, see some of the wording you might put in a letter and also sign the petition. It's got about 2,000 people already.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ludwig Mohamed Zahid. I'm a gay imam speaking from France on World Wide Wave.
A message I don't know if you saw in the week, the Pride March in Hong Kong, which I had the privilege of going to a couple of years ago, had to be cancelled because of all the unrest there. They did, however, allow, the government said that they couldn't have it. They did have a rally which was basically you just had to stay in the one spot. You couldn't move around. Denise Ho, who we had on the show five or six weeks ago, was there rallying in defiance of the ban. Selena says, go for it, standing with them. Thanks, Selena. Miles for Love, we had Planet Ally on the show from Hong Kong just recently too. They unfortunately had to cancel their event there due to all the unrest.
Not surprising, though.
No, indeed.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like World Wide Wave on Facebook now.
A big thank you to our guest tonight, Alison Patterson, from the lawyer and principal director of Human Rights for All, doing battle for the two Saudi Arabian journalists in jail. You can find out more about their work at hr4a.com.au. They are pro bono lawyers. They do accept donations to keep their good work going.
We've had lots of messages during the week on Facebook from Rex, from Warren, from Margarita, from Keith, Elizabeth, and a heap more who've joined or interacted with us during this past week. That's W3Joy on Facebook. Make sure you follow us.
As always, behind the scenes, we've got our podcaster Alex and social media master Dean, and Andy sitting there with us on the front desk tonight.
I just want to say before we go, because we brought some great content tonight and told a story that, from an LGBT angle, it hasn't been told elsewhere. Think about donating to Joy. We've got Joy Nation at the moment. We've got 580,000 listeners every month in Melbourne, but we can't do this without your support. So go to joy.org.au, find out how you can support the new work that Joy's doing, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/World Wide Wave, or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.